Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Well, hello, church family. I want you to take your Bibles and open them to the book of John, John the 20th chapter, and we have just a few verses we're going to read there in just a moment. I like to say this every time we have church together, and so I want to say it again this morning. We have all kinds of people here at North Central, and all people are welcome here. Every race, every skin color. We come from different economic backgrounds. We live in different neighborhoods. Some are single and some are married. Some have been married for a long time and some just got married. Some have kids and some don't have kids. Many watching today are believers, but not all. But we're all listening today because we all need the gospel. The gospel has the power to put broken lives back together, and it helps us make sense of the things in life that we don't understand. Our Lord compels this church to share Jesus and make disciples who will in turn make disciples. And because of that, our people get together in small groups and one-on-one. We're doing that by Zoom meetings now on Sundays and other days of the week to intentionally make disciples. North Central is to take the gospel to all people as Jesus commanded his church. Jesus is powerful. The gospel is powerful. Jesus is, say it with me, wonderful. What is to be our response to the truth of Easter? How are we to respond to the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Last week we celebrated Easter and we acknowledged and rejoiced in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We even remembered Jesus' death by the Lord's Supper, and that was a sweet, special time as we did that. But today is 1 week later after Easter, and we still have to live our life. Listen, we've just, in our dialogue and in the scripture that has been read today, we were reminded that as believers, we are to love God and we are to love people. That is the great commandment. And we are to fulfill God's great commission to make disciples of all people all over the world. And yet, there are many who have not done this. They still doubt the claims of Christ upon their lives. Maybe they have hung around the church, but they really are not changed by the message. They're longing for peace. They're longing for purpose. Maybe that's you, longing for peace and longing for purpose. The philosopher Pascal, the mathematician, he said that in every heart, that is every person's heart, there is a God-shaped vacuum. It's like a puzzle piece we're all searching for. And most of life we spend running around looking for what is going to fit in that missing puzzle piece. And until we fill that piece with the Lord Jesus Christ, we will not find the peace we're looking for. Well, can you believe that one of the disciples was in that situation? There was actually one of the disciples who were following Jesus that was not with the other disciples on Easter. And so 1 week later, he had an encounter with Jesus Christ. I'm praying that we all have an encounter with Jesus Christ on this Sunday, 1 week later after Easter as well. His name was Thomas. Now, I'd like to read from my copy of God's Word, and you read from your copy. This is John chapter 20, verses 24 through 31. It says this, "Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, 'We have seen the Lord.' So he said to them, 'Unless I see his hands, the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe.' And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, 'Peace to you.' Then he said to Thomas, 'Reach your finger here, and look at my hands, and reach your hand there, and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing.' And Thomas answered and said to him, 'My Lord and my God.'" Verse 29 says, "Jesus said to him, 'Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed.'" Verse 30 says, "And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. So here was Thomas, one of the disciples, who had not been with Jesus previously in the text that is in earlier in John chapter 20, where Jesus was with the disciples after He rose from the dead on Easter Sunday, sometime in the afternoon or the evening. And Jesus came to them and He said, "Peace be unto you." But Thomas was not there. And Thomas was a doubter. It's interesting. Thomas, Jesus, even when He confronted Thomas right here, He did not chastise him. He did not belittle him. He did challenge him. You know, the Psalm 103:10 says this: "He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities." Even when we don't follow Him, even when we are doubtful, Jesus still loves us. Now, there are three things I want to draw your attention to in this story, and I want to do it briefly to draw your attention to this life of Thomas. The first thing is this: there is no peace where there is doubt. In verses 24 and 25, it says, "Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with Him when Jesus came. And Thomas said in verse 25, 'Unless I see His hands and the print of the nails and put my hand in His side, I will not believe.'" You know, Thomas is an interesting study, because Thomas at one time was very bold. As a matter of fact, when Jesus was going to go back into the land where Lazarus was from and He was going to raise Lazarus from the dead, all the disciples were worried about Jesus and His safety. And here's what Thomas said in John 11:16. "Therefore Thomas, who is called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, 'Let us also go so that we may die with Him.'" So here was Thomas like leading the charge. And yet in John chapter 14, where Jesus said that "I'm going to heaven to prepare a place for you," Thomas said, "Lord, we don't know where you're going." He said, "We don't know where you're going. How do we know the way?" So Thomas was always back and forth. He was one that tended to doubt. The truth is, there is no peace where there is doubt. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're watching me today and there's doubt in your mind, it's hard to find that peace. You're still looking for what Pascal called the God-shaped vacuum in your heart to find what is really going to bring peace in your life. It's interesting to note that he had not been with the disciples in verse 24. It's interesting that sometimes when we're not where we're supposed to be, we miss out. Thomas should have been with the disciples on Easter Sunday night, but he was not. And so because of that, he had to go a whole nother week before he was able to see the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was told over and over again that Christ was raised. If you look at verse 25 of our text, the scripture says, "Together the disciples therefore said to him, 'We have seen the Lord.'" Whenever it uses that phrase, "the disciples said to them," that's an imperfect tense of repeated action. In other words, they kept saying to him. Here was this guy, Thomas, whom his friends were saying, "Jesus is alive, Jesus is alive," and yet he did not believe them. But over and over and over again, they were telling him. Now, maybe you keep hearing that. Maybe you are not a believer in Christ. Maybe you're not following Christ. Maybe at one point you were involved in the things of God, but you're not following Him now. And people are telling you over and over again. You heard it last week during Easter, all the emphasis on the resurrection. Maybe you're hearing it over and over and over again that the gospel is true. Well, then you can identify with Thomas, because Thomas was hearing it over and over and over again. So we learned that there's no peace where there is doubt. Thomas, he wanted to see the imprints in his hands. He was not believing yet, and he had doubt in his mind. But here's the second thing. Jesus came to him in spite of his doubt. Now, the Bible says in verse 26 that Jesus came after 8 days. You say, well, that would have made it Monday. Well, in the way they counted in the days that this was written, they actually counted both Sundays in that week. So if you count both Sundays as you count around for a week, you realize that after 8 days, it does land you 1 week later from Easter, from the resurrection. And so here's the thing. Jesus came to Thomas in spite of his doubt. Can I tell you this? Jesus knows your circumstance. You know how I know that? Because when Jesus talked to Thomas, Thomas never said, I want to see. He never said to Jesus, I want to see the imprints. And yet we find that when Jesus saw him in verse 27, he said, reach your finger here. How did Jesus know that? Because Jesus knows our circumstances. Jesus was not necessarily there when Thomas had told the disciples, I want to reach my finger into the prints of his palm. And yet Jesus knew it. And can I tell you this? Jesus knows your circumstance. He knows what you're going through. He knows what your doubts are. He knows what you're sensing. And he's coming to you even in spite of that. Now, we'll say this. Jesus did challenge his unbelief. In verse 27, he says, I want you to put your hands here and I want you to put your hand into my side. And then he says this phrase, do not be unbelieving, but believing. Now, that could be translated, stop becoming an unbeliever and become a believer. Jesus stopped Thomas on the road of despairing unbelief and gave him something to build his faith upon. If you continue in doubt, that is a bad road to be on. And it's talked about that. It talks about that in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12 says this, beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Hebrews is telling us we can have an evil heart of unbelief. It's when our will is against God in such a way that we have unbelief and it becomes an evil heart of unbelief. So Jesus was trying to rescue Thomas from that kind of a heart. And can I tell you this? Jesus is trying to rescue you from that kind of a heart as well. You know, Thomas must have been alone a lot. We're at a period in our country right now where we're spending a lot of time alone. Can I tell you this? You need the peace of Jesus, and I need the peace of Jesus. They say that solitude sometimes can encourage discouragement if we don't have the peace that we really need. So Thomas must have been in this situation. But I will say this for Thomas. He did come back on the next Sunday to be with his disciples. And he was listening to them as they were saying, Jesus is alive. Well, here's the third thing. Not only is there no peace where there is doubt, not only did Jesus come to him in spite of his doubt, but here's number three. Thomas saw Jesus and he believed. Thomas saw Jesus and he believed. And in verse 27, after the Lord spoke to him and he said, do not be unbelieving but believing, verse 28 tells us, he says, and Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. Can I tell you this, folks, that it was blasphemous in that day to use words like that to describe any man. So it is crystal clear that when Thomas used the word kyrios, which means Lord, and he used the word theos, which means God, that he was convinced that Jesus Christ was the Son of God and that Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead. Now, at first, Thomas would not believe. He was a skeptic. Can I tell you this? The Lord is not threatened by your skepticism. It is when your skepticism is overcome and for your pride and your arrogance to willfully choose to reject the truth, then you have a problem. Then you have an evil heart of unbelief. I encourage you to see the Lord Jesus, to realize what he's done, to realize that he is risen from the dead, and give your life to Jesus Christ. Hey, I have found that skeptics make great followers of Jesus Christ. I think about the Apostle Paul, a Jewish man who was a persecutor of the church, and yet he encountered Jesus on the road to Damascus. As a matter of fact, after he encountered Christ and he gave his life to Jesus Christ, even the apostles were skeptical of the Apostle Paul, and the Apostle Paul made a great believer in Christ. I think about C.S. Lewis, the great teacher at Oxford, the great professor from Oxford. I've had the privilege of going to Oxford in England and seeing the place where he taught, that great university, Oxford University. C.S. Lewis was not a believer, and yet C.S. Lewis evaluated the claims of Christ upon his life, and then he wrote a book called Surprised by Joy. That is what happens to you when you give your life to Christ. You find the peace you're looking for. I think about Josh McDowell, who was a college student, and people were witnessing to him, and he got fed up with it, and he said, I'm going to disprove the resurrection of Christ Well, as a result of all of his research, he became a believer, and he wrote all of his research down in a book called More Than a Carpenter. I love to give that book away to people that are new to our church. Thomas was the same way. He was doubtful, but he came face to face with the claims of Christ upon his life, and he gave his life to Christ. Do you know what history tells us? Now, we don't get this from Scripture, but we do get it from history. History tells us that Thomas went all the way to India to take the gospel. Thomas was sold out to the gospel message as a result of him giving his life to Christ and him saying, "My Lord and my God." Well, can I tell you this? You're mentioned. You are mentioned in this story, because in verse 29, he says, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and have yet believed." That's you and I. We were not there when Jesus appeared to those disciples in the flesh, but we're here and we have not seen, and yet we can believe. So you're mentioned there in that passage. You must be born again. He tells us the reason. John tells us the reason that this gospel was written, the gospel of John, in verse 31. "But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." The Lord Jesus Christ is wanting to take our lives and give us purpose and give us joy and give us peace. Peace is a great word from the Bible. I want to encourage you to give your life to Jesus Christ. In Europe, there was a beautiful stone cathedral. And there was a man who was commissioned to build a new organ in that cathedral. This was from 1711 to 1714. Gottfried Silbermann was commissioned to build that great organ. It became the greatest organ in Europe. It had three manuals and pedals, and it had 44 registers. Late one Saturday afternoon, the custodian, they called him a sexton, who was there watching the property, he thought he was all alone, and all of a sudden he heard steps, and he was startled to see a man with tattered clothes. The man said, "I've traveled a long way. Can I just see it?" He was talking about the organ. He said, "Okay, I'll let you see it, but you can't stay long." And so the man was just looking at the organ. He said, "May I sit on the bench?" He said, "No, you cannot." But then he gave in. But he said, "Just for a moment." And then the man's eyes were longing for the keys of that organ. "Don't even ask," the sexton said. "Could I just play it one time?" And the sexton said, "Okay." Well, music filled the cathedral. Beautiful music was playing. And all of a sudden, the man finished and he slipped out. And the sexton tried to stop him. He said, "I've never heard music like that." Others had gathered at the door. And they said, "We heard the beautiful music of Mendelssohn. Why didn't you tell us Mendelssohn was here?" Felix Mendelssohn, the German composer who wrote some of the scores for Beethoven and for Shakespeare. And it was amazing what he did. And he said, the crowd dispersed, and the sexton said to himself, "Just think about it. I almost kept the master from playing music in my cathedral." That's what we do. The master wants to come into our life and give us peace. He wants to come into our life and make an impact on the world. And he wants to make beautiful music, so to speak. But we don't allow the master to bring that music in that we so desperately need. Pascal said that in every heart there's a God-shaped vacuum. Augustine said it this way, "Lord, you have made us for yourselves, and our hearts are restless until we find our rest in thee." I want to encourage you to give your life to Jesus Christ. How are we to live 1 week later after the resurrection? Let me tell you this. Realize this. There's no peace where doubt prevails. Remember this, Jesus comes to you right where you are. And remember this, you are to step out and believe. And then once you believe, we are to take the gospel to the world. That's what the disciples did. Every disciple, as a result of the resurrection of Christ, as a result of the power of the Holy Spirit in their life, they spilled their own blood as a testament of how they believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to share God's love with those longing for peace and purpose. I pray that you'll give your life to Jesus today. If you need to do that, put your faith and trust in Christ. Say to the Lord, Lord, I know I've sinned and I need the forgiveness that only you can bring. And so right now, I repent of my sins and I ask you to forgive me of my sins, to come into my life and forgive me and save me today. I promise you, if you really believe that sincerely, He'll do it. Write me at pastor@gatorchurch.com and tell me that you've made that decision today. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we love you and praise you. We thank you for the privilege that we have to worship you today. We thank you, Lord, and praise you that even one who doubts, like Thomas, and even like us, that you are there in spite of our doubts. And Lord, we want to cry out with all that we know to say, my Lord and my God, as a result of the resurrection of Christ, your people want to live for you and take the gospel to the world. Help us to be obedient in doing that. We love you, Jesus, and we pray this prayer in Christ's name. Amen.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.